Radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
To the book of St. John. And I want to walk around this text and in this text as the Spirit will give us liberty as we begin in verse 51, 6th chapter of St. John, verse 51. Jesus is speaking. And he's helping us to understand some important realities of life that will be helpful to us in our dealing with life and its circumstances if we will open our hearts and receive this truth. He says, verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum or Capernaum. Verse 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Verse 66 again for the focus of our text. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, life goes on. Life goes on. I want us to look at this text and see what Jesus was trying to emphasize to those who were listening to him, those who had a misunderstanding or a misinterpretation of the information Jesus had just given to him. He was speaking by inspiration of the Spirit, and he was speaking to those who had followed him and who had sat underneath his teaching and who had been anointed to do many great things in terms of healing and delivering, casting out demons, etc. But though they were anointed to do that specific job that Jesus had given them liberty to do, somehow outside of that anointing, they functioned in a carnal and a fleshly mentality. They didn't realize that this Son of God, Jesus the Christ, was speaking not in literal terms. He was not speaking about them eating his literal flesh and drinking his literal blood. But it showed that they were so focused on traditions and customs that they could not rise above that they knew in the natural to receive that they were supposed to receive in the Spirit. Jesus was trying to help them understand some points, but it's interesting that he says it in spite of the fact that he knew they would not receive it. Isaiah prophesied, and many of the other prophets prophesied of the fact that they would hear and not understand, they would see and not comprehend, and all of these things would come to pass, such as one of the cases that we have before us today. Now, what is interesting is, and it brings to mind this reality, that everybody who was around Jesus wasn't with Jesus. And everybody who even functioned in his ministry was not necessarily committed to his mission. And so it was interesting because we have examples for us to understand how it is difficult for you to be able to receive anything unless, first of all, and Jesus makes clear that his Father has drawn you to him, first of all, and then that the Spirit reveals, second of all. And so therefore, you can come to church, you can have participation without having revelation. And there are a whole lot of folk who go through the motions Sunday after Sunday. They're sitting there, but when it comes time to enact or to bring to pass the knowledge that they know, they begin to say, like these disciples, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Now listen to what Jesus says, verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, Jesus was, again, speaking this in contrast, and earlier verses will reveal that he was referring back to the reference of Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness when God rained down manna or bread from heaven that they survived all 40 years. But they ate that bread, and though it was a divinely prepared bread, that bread was only a source of temporary life, just to sustain them until they had come out of the wilderness. Jesus said, just like in reference to that bread that fell from heaven, I am the living bread. I have also come from heaven. Speaking about his deity as the Son of God, he left heaven and he came down to earth to be again the ransom for man's soul and or his life. And so Jesus is likening himself to a reference that the Jews should have been able to identify. So when he talks about the living bread, though, however, he's talking about in a more glorified and magnified sense. That manna that fell from heaven was pointing to Jesus, who would be the living bread that shall come and not only sustain us in a temporary setting, but sustain us eternally. So when he talked about, I'm giving my flesh, what he was talking about was in this world, having given himself for the work and for the salvation of souls, he would then hang on the cross.
he would in his flesh pay the price that was necessary for him to redeem mankind. Notice in the conclusion of that verse, it says, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, talking about his body, which I will give for the life of the world. Now that's again talking about the cross experience on Calvary. Verse 52 says, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, they are taking this reality in a literal sense, and there is no inspirational or figurative speech in their own framework of reference, so they are taking Jesus very literal. Now, here's where they have a problem with, because when they go back into the Old Testament, they recognize that they were not able to drink of the blood of any slain animals. The blood was considered the lifeline, and God forbade them according to his laws not to drink blood, and nor could they eat the flesh because that was considered cannibalism. So they're looking at all of these things that Jesus seems to be contradicting by telling them, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, now, when you look at it from a Jewish perspective and when you understand it from a traditional setting, you can understand why they are compelled to hold fast to what they believe is right, and they are repelling what Jesus is saying, because tradition says and the law of God says we can't eat flesh of human beings and we can't drink blood of any animals, less known any human beings. So what is he talking about? They are not able to comprehend this in the spiritual because they are still thinking carnal and natural. Now look at what Jesus says again, and he seems to just emphatically says this. He's just driving this point home, and they are missing it. The more he says it, the worse it gets. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, and he's putting emphasis on it here for the point of telling them it is important that you grasp this point and fact. I say unto you, except ye eat. Now listen at this. Except, meaning no other way. Ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now what are they talking about? Jesus, wait, what do you mean? If unless we eat your flesh and drink your blood, we have no life in us. Now, Jesus, of course, is talking about the life that he is going to give to them for participating in the redemptive process that God himself has given to the world through Jesus Christ. Yeah. But Bible says in verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living. Now notice he keeps saying he's the living bread, talking about the living Father. Too many of us have been eating dead bread and we worship a dead father. He's emphasizing this is a part of his active plan presently. We ain't talking about that is gone and that is past. We're talking about the present realities of God for his people right now. I'm talking about a living Father. So he emphasizes that, hath sent me and I live by the Father. In other words, our Heavenly Father sent me here, and I am living, I am empowered, I am vested by God to do what he wants me to do, and he is empowering me to carry out his own will. Now notice what the Bible says, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. If I live by the Father by doing what he says, then you shall live by me as an extension of the Father I am, then you shall be also if you are connected. It's just like putting plugging in an extension cord in the wall socket. If you plug the extension cord in the wall socket, it extends all the way, whatever the footage is on the cord. And when you plug at the end of that extension cord, you have the same power running at the end of the extension that you have running out the wall. And Jesus is saying, I'm plugged up to the Heavenly Father, and all I'm trying to do is plug you up. You've got to be plugged into me to receive this life. Now listen to what he's saying here. The Bible says, again, verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Again, the reference is that bread was temporary. It was simply to get them from day to day. He's saying, I'm coming to offer you something far beyond just the day-to-day survival. I'm coming to offer you eternal life, and that more abundantly right now. Now look at what the next verse says. These things said he in the synagogue. He was in a church as he taught in Capernaum. Now listen at this word. Many, therefore, of his who? Disciples. Now, this is part of the 70 that he anointed and sent forth. And then there's another occasion where he anointed others to go forth and heal, deliver, set free, etc. So it was more than the 12 disciples, and I need you to understand that. And, of course, that means followers or students of a certain teaching, doctrine, or person. So he had more than just the 12 that we traditionally know of. And the Bible says, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Now, it, sometimes we must be real with ourselves. The word says some hard things. And some of us pretend to be holier than thou, like it's just a piece of cake. Oh, I ain't no big deal. I hear you, Jesus. But yet, if we would be real with ourselves, that there are some things that we cannot do that the word has required us to do without the power of the Holy Ghost. There are some things, if you would be real about the word, that is too hard to do in the flesh, in the natural, or to comprehend with the natural mind unless the Spirit of God comes and open up your understanding and or empower you to do what God has said do. Now, if you will be real about it, you can go just from the New Testament and see the things that Jesus said we ought to do. And to do those things, we're going to need, first of all, an understanding from the Spirit of God so that it might reach our enemy. Because if it just stays in our intellect, we will understand the process of it. We will understand the abstract realities of it. We will understand the theory of it, but we won't have power to practice it. So it is the Spirit of God that will give to us not only the understanding, but it will also give us the power to practice the principles that the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear. But if you will be real about it, they are some hard sayings, and you can't hear them, meaning you can't receive them or accept them or fully participate in them without the power of God. And this is, again, the reality of these men who realized, because they were focusing on a carnal reality, they were looking at the flesh alone, and they could not understand what Jesus was saying. So listen again at this word. The Bible says, verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. And, of course, you remember the definition that we shared. Murmuring is saying something to others who can't do nothing about the problem. And I just kind of feel many of us have a murmuring spirit because we're always telling somebody else who can't do nothing about the situation. Now, look at this. Look at this. They murmured about this. Look at it. He said unto them, doth this offend you? Because he knew what they were talking about. And you can always tell when you're talking to folk and something offends them. Because it shows all over their face. They try and give you a smile, but it's all crooked and everything. And he saw they were offended because their whole countenance and expressions changed. But he knew it offended them more than for just one reason, because it went against the teachings that they held so dearly, and they were not open to receive what the Lord Jesus Christ was presenting to them. So he says, doth this offend thee? He says in verse 62, what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He's saying, if this offend you, then it's going to also offend you when you see me go back home, isn't it? Because you don't believe is what he's trying to say to them. He says, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Listen at this now. It is the Spirit that make alive, that bring to reality, that bring to fruition, that brings to understanding. It is the Spirit. That's why you can pick up the Bible and read it and get nothing out of it if the Spirit don't quicken it. If the Spirit doesn't bring it alive and the Spirit doesn't deal with it and bring fruition to your understanding. It's just words on a page. So listen at this. He's explaining to them what their problem is, and they are missing the explanation. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. He's saying to them, in effect, what I am saying to you is not simply a carnal or a fleshly reality. I am speaking about spiritual truths. He had the same problem with Nicodemus, who was a man who was the ruler of the Jews. He was a religious man, and he had problems with spiritual realities because he was still functioning in the natural. So look again at what this word says. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. Now, he was saying to them right here, now listen at this. I know you're offended because you think I'm speaking in the literal and in the natural terms, but I am speaking spiritual here. The words I'm speaking are spiritual. But now let me tell you how you can be so messed up when something disturbs you and you get disturbed without a full understanding. You won't many times have a clear enough mind to receive the full understanding. Once you get your mind set on something, instead of hearing, that's why it's important to hear the whole matter. Some of us form our opinion at the first few words of a matter rather than hearing the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Here Jesus was trying to give it all to them, but they had jumped the gun because they heard something that initially disagreed with their philosophy and their convictions. And so Jesus was explaining to them now, what I'm telling you is not about a fleshly thing. It's about a spiritual thing. But they kept their focus on the flesh. Because again, they were difficultly trying to follow him because many of them did not truly believe in him. Now they believed that he was a good man, they believed he was even a miracle working man, but they didn't believe he was the savior of the world. And so their faith would only take them to a certain level. And God will use you wherever your faith level is. Because it's amazing that he anointed them, sent them out, they healed, they delivered, they cast out demons. They did all of these things, but that was the end and the extent of their relationship with Jesus, because their faith would not allow them to believe that he was the Son of God. So this is important because he's trying to make this clear to them, and he's trying to make it clear to us. The word says again, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. And Jesus continued on speaking, and he brought to the reality and to the forefront and made clear that the problem is at the basis of this truth, you really don't believe. And can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you really don't believe the Lord, it's going to show up somewhere on your journey. You see, a whole lot of folk will start out with him, but not everybody's going to continue with him. And see, he will let you go all the way until your faith runs out, until it is revealed where you stand and how much you really believe. Because if you just keep living life, something's going to come up to challenge what Jesus has said in your life. And it's going to be a matter of making a choice. Am I going to believe him and receive what he says and be a blessed person? Or am I going to rebuke that? Or am I going to deny that and suffer the consequences? Look at what this word is going on to say. The Bible says again, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. In other words, if God the Father has not led you, has not given you a heart to receive my truth in the inner parts of your inner man, then you will never ever receive me. It doesn't matter what I say nor what I do. If the Father doesn't draw you, you will not be drawn to me. So then notice what he goes on to say. He says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked. They didn't change their mind. They say, this is it. We're through and we ain't coming back. Now notice what the word says. Many of his disciples. These are folk, and that disturbed me because they sat underneath the truth and still couldn't comprehend the truth. They were looking at the truth and still couldn't deal with the truth. They had truth in the word that he gave and in the word that they shared, but they still couldn't deal with the truth. And so the Bible says that they wind up telling the Lord Jesus Christ, this is too hard for us to hear. And we changed our mind. We withdraw our membership from your program, and we're going about our business. Now can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, Jesus will not hold you where you don't want to be. And here's where I want us to focus, because Jesus gives us some helpful holy hints and some serious sacred suggestions on how to deal with these kind of catastrophes, or what seems to be catastrophes that happen in our lives. The Bible says again, verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now, first of all, what Jesus did was, when he looked at the situation, he was able to analyze the situation, and he told unto them what the true situation was. But then he was anticipating, not only in this temporary setting, but in the totality of his ministry, the fact that there were some who were going to remain with him, but still not be connected with him. And he recognized that those who walked away were at least real enough to say, we can't deal with this, Jesus. We don't understand it. We can't comprehend it. And we ain't going to be pretending, and we ain't going to be performing, and we ain't going to be acting like we with you when we really ain't it with you. We leaving this thing. So Jesus didn't even, I want you to see this, he didn't even say a word to them. He did not even, he didn't go back, wait, let me try and explain it to you. Let me try and help you see what I'm saying. He didn't go back begging them. He didn't go back whining and crying to them. He didn't say one single word when they made up their mind to leave to tell them to stay. Why didn't he not do that? This is Jesus. Because he just got through saying, what I say ain't gonna make a difference when your mind is made up. Now listen at this, because this is important, my brothers and sisters. Learn this fact. You won't change anybody's mind with your begging and your pleading, because if they have seen your best and can't stand the test, then it's best that they go on and you deal with life as you know it. Listen at this. They turn and walked no more with him, which meant they did not return back to his ministry. They left him for good, and Jesus never ever questioned them about what they decided to do. But what he said was, since we cleaning house, and since we got folk who are trying to be real now, I got just one question I want to ask y'all. Are y'all being real with me? Or are you still going to remain here? All I want to know is, not what I lost, but what I have left to work with. That's all I need to focus on. I can't do nothing about that that's gone. What I need is to know, where do you stand? Where is your commitment? Where is your dedication? Where are we in reference to this relationship? Because if you're gone, hit the dough too. So I'll know how to reprogram, restructure, and move on with life. Robert Frost said something I was reading one day, and it struck a chord. Robert Frost said, of all the things I've learned about life, I can sum it up in three words. It goes on. Y'all ought to hear me here. I don't care what you say. I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care how the decisions affect you. Life goes on. I know many of these disciples, listen, now this must have been a blow to his ego. Because here he is, the Son of Man. He's anointed these people to heal, to deliver, to set free, to do all of the things as an extension of his ministry. And then one day they come to him when he's telling them, listen, we need to get closer. We need to go deeper. We need to take this to another level. And they say to him, wait. We can't hear this. This is too much for us to comprehend. And they turn and leave him just when he is heading toward the conclusion and finality of his ministry and the mission for which he came here. And yet he does not despair about this situation. Amen. Because he knew the realities of the situation that is before us, that if they did not believe, they could not fully be committed to what he himself had called them to do. Listen at this. Will ye also go away? Now again, listen to whom he addressed this question. Listen to whom he addresses this question. He addresses from the many who have departed this question to the few that remain. Yeah. And what he was saying was, it's time to recommit now. Yeah. It's time to refocus now. It's time for you to either put up or shut up. We're at that place where I need to know before I go another step further who's with me. And so when he gets to this point, the interesting thing is that he has so positioned himself that if the rest of them would have walked away, he still would have been equipped to do what his Father had sent him to do. They would have missed their blessings, and they would have missed all that God had prepared for them, but he still would have done, because you know what the truth of the matter is? Nobody could do what he had come to do, no how. He was trying to transfer some of his authority and some of the truth that he functioned and worked in this earthly ministry to those who could carry on and further the gospel message, so that the world ultimately would have a chance to receive this Son of God. And so listen at what they say. And this is interesting. The Bible says, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go?" Now, I thought that was interesting, because obviously it wasn't just principles that these other folk left.